Welcome back to The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection shows that apprehensions of families and unaccompanied minors crossing the Texas-Mexico border continues to be a cause of concern. We are seeing levels not seen since the border surge of 2014. This has become a summertime news event, and we see these spikes on illegal border crossings almost every summer now. But how have things changed over the last 2 years? What lessons have we learned? We invite you into our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. We're joined by Aaron Nelson. He's the Express News border reporter, and Sister Norma Pimentel. She is the executive director of Catholic Charities in the Rio Grande Valley. And welcome to The Source, Sister Norma and Aaron.
Thank you.
Hi.
So, Aaron, what are the numbers? What's it looking like right now? I know we saw maybe a dip in June, but are we seeing, you know, numbers, situations similar to what we saw 2 years ago during the big surge?
Well, the numbers aren't quite the same, but I think what the story is that they still remain high. What makes it a little bit different compared to 2014 is that in May and June, they were just extraordinary months in 2014, whereas this year we've seen consistently high numbers, particularly for families. And this is after Mexico has really bolstered its southern immigration enforcement. So had that not happened, we might be seeing numbers like we did in 2014. It's hard to say.
Sister Norma, you started a relief effort when the surge began 2 years ago, and here you are now continuing to do this. Is this what you thought you would be doing, or did you think it was just going to be a temporary effort?
No, I thought it was a temporary, just a couple of days. We didn't realize that this was going to go on for so long, and we were just responding to something we were seeing at our bus station locally here downtown McAllen, and people were being dropped off by the Border Patrol after they were processed. They were now temporarily legal in the United States. They were given permission to travel to a point of destination, and they were in great need of help, and that's what our response was, very humanitarian, caring for the moms and the children we were seeing right here in our own downtown and needing a lot of help. And so we continue to do that to this day. It's been 2 years already, and it's amazing that people continue to come, and for the same reasons.
It's amazing that you continue to rally the support that you get in the McAllen area and across the valley. I mean, I know I was there initially with you at the church right near the bus station, and people were bringing in and donating, and it seemed like a huge effort. And
amazingly, they continue to do so. We've continued to operate 100% out of donations and the care of people, folks that are recognizing the fact that these are people, human beings, moms and children, and that need help and that need care. And they're coming out of their own generosity to donate time and resources so that we can provide those basic essential things that a human being needs to restore their dignity, because they need a shower, they need to eat, they need the essential things in life. You know,
because people are showing up with just essentially the clothes on their back, and these are clothes that they may have worn for months.
They wore for, dirty, and they really would trash whatever they have, and they get a clean set of clean clothes, you know. And all these donations from folks that just drop off daily stuff for us to help these families.
And then they will be going off to across the country to meet up with family members, and you give them maybe a care package with toiletry essentials to help them along the way.
Something to keep them on, guide them so that they can travel for the 2 or 3 days they have up ahead, and they have something to eat and clean themselves up, and that's it. You know, they're just with us a couple of hours.
It's usually like, I mean, really young moms by themselves with maybe one or two kids. That's a handful for anybody, but when you don't speak the language, you don't know the culture, and you've just been through a traumatic experience of crossing up through Mexico and then through the U.S. immigration system. It's nice for them to see somebody who really wants to welcome them.
Right, and I think it's just being sensitive to the reality, the fact that they're people and they need help, they need guidance, they need they don't even know how to understand those bus tickets and where to get the bus and what to do, and kind of give them some orientation, counseling as to go before the court. You know, you need to present yourself, you need to go before the judge, and give them a sense of what's happening at this point in their life.
About how many of those care packages or how many of these unauthorized immigrants have you helped?
Oh, my goodness. We reached the 40,000 mark already this past week, you know.
For the year or for the entire?
For the whole, the 2 years that we've been at since we started in 2014. This is where we're at right now.
40,000. So Aaron Nelson, reporter for the San Antonio Express News, Assistant Norma, mentioned that these people have to show up in court. So how is that working? They have to go to immigration court, but is it the honor system? How does that work?
You know, that's something that I, from what I understand, has been a challenge. I've seen some different statistics on how many people actually turn up. But yes, for the most part, it is something of you're expecting the people to respond to the packets that they're given when they're dropped off, that they're going to appear in court. A while ago, they started putting these ankle monitors on people. But I haven't really heard that there's been any issue with that they've had to go track people down. But I guess that was an added measure of security to make sure that people did show up.
So
they weren't doing that to the children, by the way. It was just the parents.
Right, the ankle monitors. I've seen these women charging up wherever they find a plug to keep their ankle monitor still working, and that seems... It's an unusual sight. These are the immigrants that come up from Central America. They hit the U.S.-Mexico border. They turn themselves in to the Border Patrol agents. And then how does that work after they meet the Border Patrol agents, Aaron?
Well, Border Patrol will process them. I don't think that they're... I don't think anybody has, with the exception, I guess, of Border Patrol, understanding of, you know, how they decide which families they're going to release, meaning drop off at the bus station, and then they end up at the shelter in McAllen, or the ones that they send off to detention, family detention facilities.
Or even Operation Streamline.
In other states.
Or which ones end up in Operation Streamline, the criminal procedures?
Yeah. Although I think that the families are a little bit of a distinction from that, unless they're, families that have repeatedly crossed, like a parent who has repeatedly crossed, been caught and deported.
Right.
But yeah, so anyway, I mean, let's just say, take the case of somebody who ends up at the shelter in McAllen. They might spend 2 or 3 days at a Border Patrol processing facility. Then they're given paperwork, told to appear in court in whatever destination is their ultimate destination in the United States.
Okay.
And then they're released.
Aaron, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue the conversation as we get an update about the unaccompanied minors and families showing up at the Texas-Mexico border. This is The Source on KSTX. Call in if you had a question or a comment, 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. More than 32 immigrant families have been caught illegally crossing the southern border between October and March. That's an increase of 120% compared to the same six-month period a year ago. That's according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection data. We're seeing, again, the summer surge also that we remember we had that in 2014. Well, it's back here again in 2016. We're talking with Sister Norma Pimentel. She's Executive Director of Catholic Charities in the Rio Grande Valley, and the Express News border reporter, Aaron Nelson, getting an update about the situation on the border and what these families are facing and how things have changed. So, Aaron, 2 years ago, when we saw this dynamic surge, the Border Patrol said they didn't have the facilities. They were not capable of dealing with all these children. We saw photographs of children housed in these warehouses, sleeping on concrete floors. Have things changed?
Yes. First of all, they were very overwhelmed in May and June of 2014. You know, there were over 10,000 children and 10,000 or more families, and so they just didn't have any place to put everybody. They hadn't really seen anything like that since then. The numbers have gone down somewhat because more people are being caught in Mexico and returned. But on the U.S. side of the border, they retrofitted a warehouse. So, you know, they streamlined some of their procedures from what I've been told. And if they do get a bump, like a really busy week or few weeks, they have a warehouse that they call Ursula, where children and families will be housed for the time, you know, that they need them to be there.
Sister Norma, why is this surge continuing? Why are we still seeing these people coming up through Mexico and coming to the United States? And they have to know when they get here that it's not going to be a friendly welcome.
You know, the stories have not changed since day one. We hear the same stories over and over again. The situation in the country is hard, and there's a lot of violence, a lot of fear. And really, you know, if we look at the stories and what we see moms, mostly mothers, with their kids. They're fleeing a situation in their country to protect their child. They're coming to our country asking for protection. The stories are the same. It's very hard to live there. There's the violence. My child is in danger. I want to save him. And pretty much, you know, it doesn't change. And it seems like it escalates, you know. And so I presume that's the reason why they still come, you know.
So they're coming up from Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Aaron Nelson. Are they these refugees or immigrants? Are they able to establish that they are fleeing violence, and does that matter to U.S. immigration courts?
I think it's been something that's very difficult for them to prove for winning asylum in U.S. Immigration courts. You know, fleeing gang violence has not been something that has qualified people for asylum in U.S. immigration courts. But I think, you know, the United States is slowly starting to recognize that this is a situation that's not going away. In an interview with the Border Patrol Commissioner several months ago, Gil Kerlikowski, he said that, you know, this could be maybe the new normal. As Sister Norma pointed out, I mean, the situations that people are fleeing are not really getting better. Such pervasive violence. And even despite the crackdown in Mexico from its immigration authorities, they have limited ability to respond. And shelters in Mexico say, particularly in southern Mexico, say that, you know, they're seeing record numbers of people. So the situation really has not improved for people in those countries. So they're, you know, they're going to continue coming.
So, but what is it must be like in those countries to see your children by the tens of thousands fleeing each year in order to get away from violence? I mean, that must be a tremendous psychological blow to the well-being of those nations, Aaron.
I would imagine so, yes. But we spent some time in Guatemala and Honduras, and you know, there is very much a sense of desperation. You know, you can't rely on law enforcement to protect you. In fact, I've even met some law enforcement at the shelter in McAllen from those countries that were also fleeing because of the violence, because you know, they are targets as well. It's a really, really bad situation.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to join our conversation, we'd love to have you. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about the resurgence of the surge on the Texas-Mexico border of women and children coming up from Central America fleeing the violence. Sister Norma, tell me some of the stories that you have heard. Paint me a picture of the life that people are fleeing in Central America.
Well, you know, let me say, there's one lady from Honduras, a very petite young mom. She was there at a center. It was very close to midnight, and she was pregnant. She was already, I asked her, when are you due? And she said, yeah, which means now. And I was like, why would you come? Why would you do this to yourself and to your child, go through all that, you know, in those conditions? And she said, she showed me her hand, and she said, look at my hand. You see this? It's destroyed totally. This happened because a gang member walked into my house with a machete, struck at my little girl. She's alive because I put my hand to defend her. And if we stay, she would be dead. And so those are the kind of stories I hear. You know, another mom telling me her daughter, she's 12 years old. And she says, my daughter was followed by the gangs, and they wanted to kidnap her, raped her. And so we went ahead and kept her. She was imprisoned in her own home. We couldn't let her go outside. You know, they're not safe, you know. And so their father wanted to... they told the dad, you know, if you do anything to us, or we'll just kill all of you, you know. And so they're afraid, yeah.
But Sister Norma, someone listening to that story about that pregnant woman will think that's an anchor baby that woman's going to have. She's going to give birth in the United States, and now that child is going to be an American citizen. And is that a lure for some of these people to come up?
It is. I know I can't judge to say that that's the reason why they're coming. I know that their stories are saying different. Their stories are saying the child that I have right now, this little girl, 5 years old, 12 years old, I'm afraid for them, you know, and they risk their lives in the conditions that they are because of the children they have and what they're facing right now. And so it happens that they're pregnant, you know.
All right, let me go to a caller. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation like Sean did. And Sean, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. My question is, I was wondering what resources are available to handle mental illness aspects of people that are trying to come across.
You mean that they suffered some sort of like PTSD from the horrors that they've endured on their travels?
Absolutely, that could be a factor, but also just people that happen to be suffering from mental illness that are in that situation and may not handle it as well as someone who has coping skills.
Okay, Sean, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. So, Sister Norma, what kind of counseling is available to folks who do show up?
That's a very good question that you have, and it's a concern that I've always had for this, especially the children. They've been through a lot of trauma. They need help. They long-term, and when they come to us, we don't have them but a couple of hours. All we're immediately caring for is their immediate basic needs, like take a shower, clean up, eat a nice warm soup, maybe see a doctor to fix anything that you may have, scratches or things like that. But they do need some mental health more further on whenever they arrive at their point of destination, and some type of help to help them process what they've been through is definitely something that would be very important.
So, Sister Norma, the present presidential campaign that we're seeing in the United States, part of it is like a referendum on what to do about the southern border. People say it's not secure. Their critics say we need a wall. And they can point to this surge of families and children coming up from Central America as proof that something needs to be done.
Well, I don't know that the border is not secure. I believe that our law enforcement locally are doing a great job. These people are not criminals. They are families that are turning themselves in. They're not running away. They're asking for protection and for help. So how do you turn somebody away and say, sorry, I can't help you, you know? I think that we need to establish a better humanitarian immigration reform that will respond to these folks that are coming and asking for help and understand whether they you know, our political asylum process needs to be updated to address our present time. And so I think that I think some steps are being taken in that direction, and I hope it does, so that folks don't have to go through the hardship that they do to ask for help.
And building a giant wall is not going to solve this, because
they'll
show up at the bridges and turn themselves in there.
Right. You know, I mean, we already have a wall. It doesn't work, you know. It's not the wall that we need. It's a better immigration reform that addresses what we're facing with immigrants.
All right, Sister Norma Pimentel, thank you so much. Executive Director of the Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, continuing her work, helping the immigrants showing up at her doorstep and needing help to get to their next destination. And Aaron Nelson, Express News border reporter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is The Source on KSTX. Thank you for tuning us in.